is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. Cover me with your blood, Lord Jesus, and fill me with your Spirit. According to the latest statistics, there are something like 2% of the world's population that call themselves atheists, godless folk, and of course that's not a great number, and I guess pretty much most of them live in these parts, this country at least anyway, these days. But I say they call themselves atheists, but of course in reality there is no such a thing as an atheist. Because, you see, the truth of the matter is that everybody, and I mean everybody, knows that God is. You know that He is, and you even believe that. You know, contrary, of course, to what you say, what you confess. You might persist, you might argue the point that you're an atheist, but I'll take God's word over yours any day of the week. He says He has made it plain to you. He says that He has shown it to you. He says you even understand it, that God is. But of course you don't want there to be a God because, well, you're a stubborn-hearted, rebellious sinner. And so you defy God and you suppress that truth that He has given to you in your wickedness, God says. You hold the truth down because, well, for the same reason that a thief doesn't want there to be a policeman, you don't want there to be a God. But I've got bad news for you if you're a thief. There are policemen. And I've got good news for you if you profess to be an atheist. There is a God. And He's good, He's kind, He's merciful, He's loving, He's forgiven, even towards, professing atheists. People, that is, whom God says in His Word, have become futile in their thinking. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Oh, not that he doesn't know anything. Not that he's completely and utterly stupid. That's not what God means. What He means is that you've become futile in your thinking. But of course, I suppose it could be argued, though I don't think so. But maybe it could be argued that some of you are victims, From the cradle, you get it from godless parents, then you get it from godless teachers, then you get it from godless professors, then you get it from the media. It's pumped into you, you don't get much going for you, really. It's pumped into you from day one, there is no God, there is no God. And you keep telling somebody something, you know how it is. Eventually they believe it. And of course, in this instance, you believe the lie. But of course, stop and think about it for a moment, if you will. Yeah? You couldn't have a meaningful thought if there was no God. Yeah? Some of you, of course, in your ignorance, you throw the word science at me, Like it's some kind of magic word, Science and whoop, everything happens, Here's the truth. You couldn't do science, you couldn't do philosophy, you couldn't do ethics, you couldn't do squat if there was no God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If God had not revealed knowledge to us about the universe in which we live, the world in which we live, and your own beings, you could not do any of these things. You see, you need knowledge to do things. So where do you get knowledge from, pray tell me, in a naturalistic, material world, just, you know, tell me, where did it come from, you know? All of a sudden there was a bang that came from nowhere, out of nothing, and then there was a lump of matter, and then for a few billion years, then it became intelligent, then another few billion years, and it became ethical, you know? Tell me, where do you get that out of a lump of matter? You are just a piece of, according to your evolutionary godless thinking, you're just a piece of chemical fizz. So how does a piece of chemical fizz turn into an ethical, reasonable, rational, intelligent creature? It doesn't work. It doesn't equate, you know? But of course you don't really believe what you say you believe, you know? I mean, for instance, why do you get bent out of shape when men start killing one another? You know, why do you complain when a man rapes a woman? What's wrong with that? Isn't that just survival of the fittest? Isn't that just what you say you believe, but you don't really? The German philosopher some 100 years ago, a man by the name of Nietzsche, he coined the phrase, God is dead, but guess what? Nietzsche's dead and God's still going. Yeah. But Nietzsche, he said 100 years ago, he berated his English atheists. He says, you cling to your morality, get rid of it. You can't be an atheist and cling to your morality. The morality comes from God, from the Bible. Get rid of it, he said. Gosh, you might not agree with him, but at least he was consistent. That's more than the most of you are, because you cling to your morality. And yet you say there's no God. You see, it's called self-deception. You know, it's called living off the back of somebody else's capital. God gives you the knowledge. He gives you the ability to do science, ethics, and philosophy. You do all these things, and then you turn around and say, there is no God. Well, the day's coming when God's going to, you know, come knocking on your door, and he's going to want interest, you know, on the capital that he's invested in you, you know? So people, you need saving, you see. That's the bottom line. You need saving, and only Jesus can save you. You need saving from your wrong thinking, your wrong-headedness, you know? You need to get out of that 2% of godless people that populate the world. Because you're in a serious minority. Maybe not in your classroom, maybe not in your home, maybe not in your social club, maybe not in your Facebook page, but you are seriously, very seriously, in the minority concerning the population of the world. Only 2% of you who are godless. But then, of course, well, there's a sight more that, you know, that... You couldn't exactly call them godless, but they are most certainly idolatrous, you know. They're into false religion, but that's just another means of suppressing the truth and wickedness. The truth, that is, about the true and living God, the one that you know exists, that gave you life and being, and of course that puts bread on your table each and every morning. But that God, you see, he has revealed, he says, he has revealed his divine anger, you know, against people who suppress the truth in unrighteousness and wickedness. But he has also revealed his righteousness. He has revealed the gospel, the good news concerning his son, Jesus Christ. Now you see the power by which atheistic so-called people, you know, that's what they call themselves, that such people, you see, that 2% that I refer to, that their minds can be changed, transformed by the power of the gospel, and brought to be clothed in their right minds and sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning the truth. The Bible says that the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. It's grace, you see, that's what you need. Grace, you know. Instead of what you deserve, grace, you see, is the undeserved favor of God It's God offering to you the very opposite to what you deserve. Punishment is what you deserve. But of course, God knows that punishment, that doesn't change people for the better. I mean, you can lock them up in prison, but that doesn't transform their lives. I know it's supposed to be reformative, but it very seldomly is. Because they just learn more tricks and they go out and do more evil and wickedness. The punishment, it just doesn't work, you know? Some people, yes, they have to be punished, and God does punish sinners. Oh, believe me, He does. But you see, that doesn't work, the transformation. That doesn't change people for the better. It's grace that does that, you see. And God, you see, in the gospel, He offers His grace. That is what people don't deserve. Yes, madam.
Do you have a booklet?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. There you go.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, my dear. God bless you. So you see, God offers you what you least deserve, you know? Here you are, you know, you've denied God, denied His existence, neglected Him, ignored Him. You know, you've taken all the good things He's given to you, used them all, you know, for your benefit, but totally rejected any notion of God whatsoever. And yet He offers you grace. He offers you that which would transform and change not just your mind, but the entirety of your being, and of course your eternal destiny. Instead of hell, you get heaven. That's the grace of God. And the Bible says God has revealed His grace, well, through the gospel, through His Son Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses, Bible says, but the law doesn't change us. You know, you can invent as many laws as you please. You know, you can try and keep the Ten Commandments, but that won't save you. Wasn't given for that purpose. You know, you got laws in your land today, have you not? You know, in abundance, but does it change people? Does it get rid of the wickedness? Does it transform people? No, it doesn't. It's only the grace of God that does that. And the Bible says, grace came by Jesus Christ, you see, in the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. In Him, the grace of God, you see, the free favor of God is revealed, bringing salvation to all people, all kinds of people, no matter who you are, no matter what you've been doing, where you've been sleeping, fat, thin, rich, poor, beggar, man, thief, it doesn't matter. Grace for all people. That is who will receive it in faith, believe the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. But that grace, you see, has been revealed by God Himself in His Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. So the grace of God, the favor of God came by Jesus. So it's Jesus that you need. He's the one who can transform you. Now get this, people, be clear, will you? We're not talking about religion, because religion doesn't change people either for the better, or make you more kind of like moral, respectable, self-righteous. Yes. Sorry?
Can we get the name?
Which can, yeah? I have a book instead. Is that?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You guys want one?
Yes, please.
Yeah? Pardon? There you go, guys.
Thank you.
Have a good day. So, you see, people, it's the gospel, you see. It's not religion. You know, it's not about instituted religion, you know, because that's got death in it. There's no life in that. We're talking about a person. We're talking about Christ Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. There's no life. No life in religion, people. There's a death in it. Surely, you should have got that message by now. Where you've been living, what planet are you on? Religion kills, man. Oh, it doesn't give life. It's the gospel that gives life. Jesus, a person. Person of the Son of God, and proved and demonstrated to be so by the power of His resurrection from the dead. It's the person, it's the man Christ Jesus that you need. The Savior who brought the grace of God. Who brought the possibility of transformation, of forgiveness. The heart of the gospel is the forgiveness of God. Yes, even for atheists, even for the godless, you see? The grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, all kinds of people, whatever your color, your creed, your background, doesn't matter, it's Jesus that you need, you know? No matter what you've been brought up with, you know? Some people, you know, they cling to things just because, well, that's what I was brought up with, you know? But what good's that if it's not true? What's good about that if it doesn't bring you life and salvation? If it doesn't bring the grace of God to you? Only the gospel does that. And the grace of God, you see, it tells us, it teaches us, you see, it enables us to do what we couldn't do before, and that is, of course, to turn from godless living. I mean, what's that about, people? To live in this world, to go through your life as though there was no God. I mean, how sensible is that? You know, to go through your life ignoring God, godless living. You know, that's the language of the Antichrist. You know, man is his own God. I don't need God. Like, you know, I can get through, I can get by. You know, people, can't you see around you? People are dying every day. Even your celebrities with all their money and all their popularity, they're still cocking their toes up. They're still going out of the world feet first. They're still going out of the world the same way they came into the world, naked. It's appointed for man to die once, and after this then comes the judgment. People, you need Jesus. And you need a badge, you need seriously Jesus Christ, the Savior, the one who can bring the grace of God to you and eternal life. Eternal life, life that never comes to an end. We're instructed by the grace of God to turn from that godless living which is futile, you know? Like I say, living off the back of God's capital, you know? All the goodness, the knowledge, the understanding, and all the cleverness that He's given you, and yet to live without Him, you know, that really just is not intelligent. It really just isn't sensible. And to turn from sinful pleasures, you know, God does acknowledge in His Word, the Bible, you know, that there is pleasure in sin. Oh, no question about it. We love this stuff. That's why we keep doing it, isn't it? You and me both. We love this stuff, you know? Sinful pleasures. But the pleasure's fleeting. It's just momentary, you know? Bang, and it's gone. It's all over. And then you're faced with a bad conscience. And then you're faced ultimately with the judgment of God. You know, it's the grace of God that enables a person to turn from those sinful pleasures that wreak havoc in the end, wreak havoc in our lives, destroy our lives, destroy our bodies, and destroy our minds, and eventually destroy our souls. But you see, we got this passionate love affair going with sin. We love the stuff. We're in love with it, you know? We've got a relationship going with it. Well, says God, that relationship's got to be broken off. Well, you know how to break off relationships today, don't you? This generation, you're the past masters at it, eh? I mean, you don't even do marriage anymore. It's just fornicating. You know, living in fornication. And of course, well, if you get, if the sweet little thing that you're doing it with, you know, if she's no longer pleasing to you, well, you just kick her out the door and get somebody else. It's easy, isn't it? And of course, vice versa, like, you know. Just get rid of them. Break the relationship off. Easy as falling off a log. Aye, but breaking the relationship with sin ain't so easy. Oh, believe me. But you see, that's the problem. You got this passionate love affair going with sin, and God says you got to break it off, you got to get rid of it, and you got to get into a wholesome, healthy relationship with the living God. You see what I mean when I say relationship with God? We're talking about knowing God, not knowing about Him. You can take the book and you can read the book and learn about God. You go to a bookstore and buy all kinds of books about religion, and you can come to know about God. You might tell me, well, you know, Queen had her birthday yesterday. You might say to me, well, I know the Queen. No, you don't. What you mean is you know about the Queen. You don't know her relationally. And you see, you can know about God but not know Him. We're talking about relationship, not religion. We're talking about getting to know God personally. This is eternal life, says Jesus. Knowing God. And the Bible says that when Jesus comes again to judge the world in righteousness, coming with His holy angels to take vengeance upon all them that, what, aren't religious? No. That don't know God. Because you see, God is knowable. You know that He is, just as much as I do. You know that He exists. But you suppress the truth, you hold the truth down in your wickedness, in your unbelief. Well, those sinful pleasures that you're in love with, you see, it's only the grace of God, you see, that can take the love of sin out of your heart. No one, you see, when Jesus said a man must be born again, He's talking about a change of nature. Because you got a nature, you see, that hates God. You got a nature that holds God in contempt. And you got a nature that loves sin. And no one ever stopped hating God. And no one ever stopped loving sin until God changed their natures. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Because unless a man is born again, he can't even see, perceive, that is, understand the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. But you see, no one ever desired God. No one ever stopped, you know, hating sinful pleasures until God changed their nature. You know, the Bible says Christ died for the ungodly. What does it mean to be ungodly? It means to be contrary to God in your nature. And because your nature's contrary to God, your practice is contrary to God. You're all about you contrary to God. Only God can change that. It takes a miracle, people. That's what the new birth is. To be born again, it takes a miracle from God. God must do something to you and in you, change your nature miraculously. And all the morality, and all the respectability, and all the religion, and all the cleverness in the world won't do that. Only God can do that for you. Nobody else. It's the grace of God, you see. When the grace of God comes to a man, when God imparts grace to a man or woman, everything changes. Believe me, everything. The old goes and the new comes. It's a revolution, it's a radical change within, not on the outside. Religion change on the outside. Change the way you dress, people you meet with, where you go. All kinds of things will change, but it's all on the outside. It's all on the outside. It's only the grace of God that will change you inside, and it's the inside that needs to change, because it's the heart that's the heart of the problem. Our hearts are diseased. Deceived, deceitful and desperately wicked, says God. You know, talking about, you know, self-deceit. You know, we live with this deceit. You know, you look in the mirror in the morning and it tells you, you know, that, well, you're the greatest. You know, you're a cool dude. You're good to go, like, eh? You know, how could anybody not love you? Eh? I mean, look at you. You know, look at that image you see in the mirror. Huh? The hairdo, the foundation, the makeup, the clothes, you know. You're up to date with the fashion and all the rest of it. The trouble is, people, all you're looking at is an image. And that what you're all into today, images, images, images. It's the image that matters, not the reality. But you look into the mirror of God's Word and you'll see something different. You'll see your inside, you'll see the poison, you'll see the vileness, you'll see the same things that you condemn other people for, you'll find in your own heart. You'll find the same immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, perversity of all kind there in your heart. So you see, it's the heart that has to be changed. And only the grace of God can do that. But when the grace of God comes to a man, to a woman, it changes, you see, it transforms from the inside out. Instead of hating God, you love God. You see, one of two things, you're either a natural born God hater or a supernaturally reborn God lover.
Can I ask you a question?
If it's a sensible one, yeah.
Right, when I was down the night with God, yeah?
You
didn't help me, but you helped everyone else.
Did he? I don't know. Everyone.
So how can you preach? I've done nothing. I've got children out of Borsal.
Yeah.
I give money to charity. I work for charities. I do volunteer work.
I don't get the favour of
so
God.
So how can you stand there and preach about someone that doesn't give a shit about me?
Oh, he does.
So where did he help me when I was on my arse?
Well, maybe. What if you gave up the drink and got on your knees?
I did get on my knees and I prayed.
And keep on.
Well,
he says, no, I'm not shouting, I'm preaching. He says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. Yeah?
What keep on it? Asking. Ask and thou shall be given, seek and thou shall find, knock and what?
And the door shall be opened.
Well, I've told
you that. No. You got to mean business.
Yeah,
you
and I've stopped him for 2 years and right. He hasn't helped me.
Right. Well, that doesn't...
He even killed my youngest daughter. So well, that's what God does to us.
Well, there you go. It's because of our wickedness, you see. So you see, I see the grace of God. You see, the lady's telling me all about what she did. She did this, that, and the other, and God never did the business for her, you see. But it's not your doing. You see, it's grace. That's my very point, people, you know. You can't earn brownie points with God. I mean, what can we offer to God? What have we got to offer to God? You know? If there's anything good about you at all, it came from God. Only one thing that we can truly call our own, and that's our sin. You can't work yourself into God's favor. And again, you see, that's what religion does. Religious people are always telling you to do this, do that. You know, do and do and do. You don't get it by doing, you get it by receiving. Receiving the grace of God in faith. But yeah, you see, all the doing in the world doesn't please God. No one, absolutely no one, God says in His Word, the Bible, will be justified, made right with God by their doing. It's only the grace of God, you see, that can transform a person and take the love of sin out of their hearts. So sinful pleasures, we should live in this evil world with wisdom. And boy, is it not an evil world. And it seems to be getting more evil by the day. You know, again, if evolution were true, don't you think things and people would be getting better? I mean, don't you see, you used to come from monkeys and apes, and now you're human beings? Well, it seems to me you're going back to the road now. Huh? Seems to me, you know, don't want to offend anybody, but, you know, don't we, human beings, don't we behave more like animals than animals do? I mean, they do it to survive. We do it for pleasure. I mean, kill and slaughter one another, you know? People, we're getting worse, we're not getting better. The world's growing more evil, more wicked. But then, of course, you see, if evolution were true, well, wouldn't we be evolving into something better and better all the time? Instead of regressing, And all the world's resources, they tell me they're running down. Well, if evolution were true, that wouldn't be the case, would it? You see, the Bible says the end of history, before God wraps it all up and brings in the day of judgment, God says things will grow worse. The evil will grow more and more, abounding in the world. So you're going to need wisdom. You're going to need wisdom to live in this evil world. Wisdom, people, not cleverness. You got clever people. Oxbridge, Cambridge, eh? They're running your country. They are so clever. They can answer all your philosophical questions about the origin of the species, the universe, how it all came into being. They're so clever, but they can't solve your social problems. Still, a third of your country, your nation, lies in slums. They talk about slums today like, you know, well, that was something that belonged to the 1950s. It's gone now. No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. One third of your nation is still slums. You know, all these multitudes of social problems. And they're so clever, eh? So clever. But they can't fix them. Can't sort them out. You know why? Because they are clever. They're clever, Oxbridge trained, they are clever, but they ain't got an ounce of wisdom. They haven't got an ounce of wisdom. It takes wisdom, you see, to put Humpty back together again. All the king's horses and all the king's men can't do it. Put this nation back together again. It takes wisdom from God. Wisdom that comes from God. You see? And it's the grace of God that brings us wisdom, the wisdom that enables us to live in a wicked and evil world. Before that is, we depart for the glory of heaven. So wisdom, well, you're going to need some of that. Righteousness, your righteousness, mine, like filthy rags, says God. Filthy rags, untouchable. There's a righteousness that God has revealed in the gospel in His Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus is the righteousness of God. When a man or woman believes in Jesus, His righteousness is credited to them, you see. And you stand in the righteousness of Jesus, utterly and absolutely perfect in the eyes of God, forgiven, washed, cleansed, and made right with God, justified, righteous with God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, says Jesus. All the rest shall be added to you. Grace of God, people, that's what's needed. That's what's needed. The time is short. Repent and believe the gospel. Bible says that our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. Coming again, but not as an infant in a manger. Coming as the mighty Son of God in vengeance. Coming to judge the world in righteousness. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're all of us naked and exposed before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. You live in a day and generation that thinks it's not accountable to anybody. Do as you please, you know. Finger up at the government, at the police and the courts and everybody else. Well, you can't, because you'll give account, Jesus says, for every careless word that you've spoken. So people, repentance, change of mind. The grace of God, you see, is what you need. And the grace of God is connected by faith, believing, trusting. Not in what you can do, but what Jesus has already done. And dying on a cross. And dying on a cross to purify people for Himself. To wash them, make them clean, right with God. Jesus died on the cross and He rose again from the dead. The Bible declares that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? And why Jesus? Why not Buddha? Why not Muhammad? My habit's dead and buried and gone to hell. Self-confessed murderer. No murderer has eternal life, God says. Buddha's not Lord. Confucius isn't Lord. They're dead and buried and gone to hell as well. So why is Jesus Christ Lord? Because he overcame sin. Repent and believe the gospel and get your mouth and your heart washed out, sir. Repent, believe the gospel. So you see, Jesus Christ is Lord because he defeated sin and death. He rose from the grave mightily. He's alive and alive forevermore. Able to save to the uttermost all who come to God through him. But there ain't no other way to come to God. Ain't no other way to come to God. No other name. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. No man comes to the Father but by me. That is, no one gets right with God but by me. No other name under the entire canopy of heaven whereby a person can be saved. Name of Jesus alone. You miss Jesus. You pass Jesus by. You reject Jesus. You reject God's salvation. You reject heaven. You reject forgiveness. You reject the grace of God. I urge you not to. I implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Man's greatest need in any day and generation, people. A world at war, a world in turmoil. Why? Well, how can it be any other when man's at war with God? Enmity in their hearts with God, separated from God because of your iniquities. Can never be peace in the world, in your homes, in your hearts, until peace is made with God. Then and then alone will you know the peace of God that passes all understanding. Alienated from God, your greatest need is to be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to him today. Repent of your sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, that is, will be saved. Saved from sin's penalty, its wages are still death. Saved from its power that holds you in its grip, and saved from its presence that permeates your hearts and your lives today. Saved, salvation, life is what the Bible, is what the message of the Bible is about. Not religion. Jesus Christ came into the world to save, to rescue poor sinners like you and I. That we might know life eternal. That we might know a quality of life here now in this world. And then for all eternity. That's why it's called eternal life. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word, I'm all done. You'd like a copy of God's Word, check these things out for yourself. Read and see. Offer to you, free of charge, no cost, no obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. Yes, Councillor, yes.
So do suicides go to hell, do you think?
Sorry?
Suicides, do you think they go to hell?
That's a good question. Let me put it this way. Unbelieving ones do, yes. Unbelieving ones.
There's lots of people that have been driven to it by people that are properly evil, though.
Oh, I know, but that's...
Do you think Satan has power and can give people power or some relief from hell?
No, definitely not. That's the last thing he wants. That's the last thing that he wants.
I don't know why all these people are worshipping Satan, though. All these government paedophiles.
Yeah, tell me. It's a dangerous business.
Right.
Dangerous business.